Hey guys, this is Hayes from Optic, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to another edition of The Center Ring, aka your favorite esports podcast, aka TCR. Episode 93 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date is February 8th, 2018. The time, just after 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. If I do say so myself, I think this is going to be the best episode ever. Anuj and I are free from the restrictions of Brett. What's up, Anuj?
Man, I feel like the chains are off today.
I mean, what are we going to do? Brett isn't
whatever
here.
Whatever we want, honestly, dude. We have a lot of room for activities today.
Brett's not here talking about his kids in the pre-show meeting and keeping us from talking about Church Hot, which was in full force last weekend, by the way.
Like, would it be too far to go as, like, there's also, like, a funeral hot, or is that, like, pushing the limit?
I don't think so. I think there's definitely, listen, there's definitely a sense of vulnerability at both, and I think that adds to the hotness, you know?
I would 100% agree.
I support your funeral hot. For any of our listeners, if you go to a funeral or church, just let us know if you see some hotness there. It's a thing.
And if it happens at the same time, like the funeral's in a church, let us know.
That's the double whammy. That's the holy grail. Anyways, I am Tim. That is Anuj. We normally have Brett with us, but he is out today doing daddy things. We are TCR. We are an esports podcast. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring, and also go to our website, tcr.gg. You'll see all of our social media outlets there, our Discord. Join it. We are there. We always like to talk to everyone. We typically on Overwatch League nights are pretty chatty. Good Counter-Strike discussions going on, and just overall a good time. So hit us up there. For this show here, we will end it with e-news, as always, just a compilation of, you know, stories we just didn't have time to get to. We are going to really handle the show, though, as a CSGO shakeup, a shuffle, a swap, if you will. Because everyone knows, after a CSGO major, there are just roster moves bonanza. So we will break all that down. But first, before we get into some CSGO talk, I have a big show announcement, Anuj.
I'm excited for it, man.
Let's get a drum. Him. The big show announcement for TCR is we will be on the radio again. So if for those who don't know, maybe we have, you know, we have new listeners every episode, Anuj. I also work in radio in Dallas-Fort Worth. I work at The Ticket, which is a sports radio station, and occasionally they are nice enough to entertain us and let us do TCR live on air. So on February 20th, in almost 2 weeks, okay, so we're giving you plenty of time to spread the word, we will be doing a live show on The Ticket. It's 96.7 FM. If you live in DFW, you can also, it's on, we also have the website, you can stream from there. iHeartRadio has it. We're going to be talking a lot of Counter-Strike. Overwatch League Stage 1 will have wrapped up by then, so we'll talk that and preview Stage 2. And maybe we're trying to book some guests there. So that will be a good time. Esports on the radio. Spread the word. Join us. Get some live discussion, right? It's a live show, so maybe we can actually take Twitter questions and all that good stuff.
And man, after like months of them begging us to come back, I'm glad we were able to settle. Like, it ended up being a multi-million-dollar contract, guys, but
we don't settle.
It was hard.
We didn't have a lot of time at TCR.
But I'm glad we said yes to them. So it'll be exciting.
So we have that going on for us there. We've actually done the show a few times on there. It's pretty, it's good times. Good times. It's also really fun to hear the Twitter comments from people who don't know what esports is. That's always
that's the
a
best
blast.
Part. That's the best part. Maybe that's what we should start reading.
I was
going to
say, that's what we should really read on air, is all the people, hey, why don't you guys talk about real sports? Which we do. We have like a whole 12-hour, 14-hour broadcasting day of real sports. Just give me my 2 hours twice a year to talk video games. Is that too much to ask? Anyways, let's get into esports, because this is an esports podcast after all. As I mentioned, in case you forgot, Cloud9 won the major. And after the major, there's always this shuffle, because it always seems like the major ends, right? And like quickly, like 2 weeks later, there's some kind of roster lock deadline for one of the leagues out there, whether it be like ESL or ECS. Somewhere out there, there's always a roster lock that forces these teams to just blow up after the major.
It creates the offseason, essentially.
It does, yeah. I would say...
It just happens more than once a year.
Yeah.
But it creates the offseason.
There's a 2 week window after a major that's really the offseason for CSGO. And I don't know if that's planned, but it's pretty genius. It gives everyone in the, I guess, the media. If that's
well, like
you
mentioned, Tim,
us.
It's for, like, this is for, you know, the Premier League. So no one's going to miss out on the ESL Pro League.
No.
These teams
you're
know
going
that
to fill you know, your
you're going to you're going to set that. Yeah.
Whether or not they make sense. Optic, I'm looking at you. We'll talk about you later. But you're going to fill a roster in because you need your spot. Let's start with some of the ones that we kind of knew ahead of time that maybe aren't that big of a deal, right? I want to start with Liquid. So they finally have Steel officially in their playable roster, right? For the longest time, Zeus was sitting out. Steel was sitting out. Zeus was sitting in. And so we've never really got to see them with Steel. Now they have Nafly from Renegades. They dropped JDM. I wonder
why
Nafly.
Which is big, I feel. You
why
know?
Why Nafly? Like, Naf would have been the last person I would have thought you would drop JDM for.
The only reason they're... Yeah. The transition is weird, right? Because you're dropping an Opper for a Rifler. So that's... not like a natural move that teams would make. I get the reasoning for wanting to pick up Naf. You know, Naf has been Renegade's top player. They have made pretty decent runs, you know, other than, you know, not having a good showing just recently. He was their top performer. He had a 1.0 rating or higher in every event they did except for one, and it was like 15-20 events, so it wasn't just a small number. He's been playing really well, and I think even at the end of his time with Optic, remember, like, he had a solid 6 month run where he was really the top player on there along with Mixwell at the time, that was helping carry the load. So wanting him, I get. Dropping JDM, like, it's weird because Nitro, I think, is stepping into the Opper spot. Is that correct?
I believe so.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
So
which he's shown proof that, though. Okay, oddly enough, Nitro's recent performance, I think, saved him. Like, his performance at the major and prior, I think, has really put him in a new light. Like, oh, he's, you know, he's the in-game leader, but he's also finally performing outside of that as well.
Yeah, you're showing you have to do both in that role nowadays if you're going to be a top team, right? It's no longer the days of, oh, he's the IGL. Like Adren lived on that for so long.
Yeah.
He's the IGL. But we need him, and it's okay that he doesn't frag. Like, that's our excuses because he has so much to do. But you look at the top teams now.
I always thought that
now,
was a sorry excuse, too, man.
Yeah, at this level,
like,
it feels
yeah,
like it
is, saying,
right? Like, I get it if us five are at a LAN, and the guy that has the pressure of calling is going to play like crap because he's probably nervous in that situation, right? But these guys,
or
everyone
it's our
needs
situation
to
where you're our IGL and no one listens to you.
Yeah, that too. That probably helps. But Nitro really did, like you said, he stepped up in this last tournament. He's fragging in that IGL role. I think adding Naf will take some of... He'll have a lot to be able to do with him. You know, if Nitro opts well, and that's the biggest challenge, right? Because now he's going up against the likes of Skadoodle, Fallen, Kenny S, you know, Guardian. Like, the list goes on of great oppers in the game right now. He might not have to, you know,
well,
he's not,
then
probably
the people
not
he's
be
playing
as
against
good
all of a
them.
Sudden... shot up, right? Like, the Renegades were not playing the same competition on a regular basis that Liquid was. It's just simple.
I mean,
as
they're
that.
Both
they're both good, but like, I'm just saying Liquid typically got invited to bigger tournaments.
Yeah, oh, yeah, as Renegade, far as tournaments Renegades go, league could, play was the same because they were both
right.
playing in NA.
No, yeah, in right? league, so. Yes. I'm talking, like, just tournaments, the inviting tournaments. Renegades could qualify for things, but as far as getting the invite, they normally got
Liquid
shafted.
Gets invited.
Right.
Yeah, so Liquid definitely gets invited.
Them and, better to that.
Them and Cloud9 are, like, the American teams, right? So any overseas event, they're generally going to give them the invites or put them in a favorable position to be able to make it, at least.
And now with that being out, as we mentioned before, Steel's in, so that's going to be really cool. I know they were playing NIP as we were.
Oh, yeah, so Steel will be doing the IGL, and Nitro won't even have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Steel will take over IGL, and he'll just be opping. So.
Right, which I think is great, because like we said, at the Major, it was Zeus who was clearly IGLing. And Nitro, I mean, without that, you know, without that kind of on his shoulders, completely kind of opened up.
You talk about IGLing and not fragging. That was rough for Zeus, wasn't it?
Oh, my
it?
God. You could definitely tell felt
bad for the guy.
One. You did, but at the same time, he was playing at a Major, which he probably would never have thought he would be doing.
He got a sticker, didn't he?
Did he? Did they end up giving him one? I knew that was kind of a controversial thing.
That'd be sad if he didn't.
I don't know,
one.
But Liquid was just playing NIP at Summit 2, which just started today. Summit being one of the best tournaments ever in any game. I don't
a lot
know
of fun to
won,
watch.
Though. I'm trying to look at
it,
their facial
reaction. It just started.
Reaction.
It hasn't started yet.
No, it just ended.
Oh, did it just end?
It went to game 3. But by their facial reactions, you can't tell who won or who lost. Oh, Liquid there. Nice. There you go. Liquid beat NIP 2-1. So there you go.
Look at that.
New roster. What else coming up here? Astralis. You want to talk some Astralis?
Jeez, talk about
Let's
unexpected.
Talk Astralis and North, because they kind of you have to talk about both at the same time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it started with North, where, I guess either way you want to look at it, Kirby ended up just deucing out of Astralis to go to North. And apparently this was like the most hush-hush, like he Cleveland Browns to Baltimore Astralis. Like, no one said anything. He was like, they discovered by Twitter that Kirby wasn't on the team anymore.
They found out 3 hours before North made the official announcement. I mean, think about how shocking that had to be to them. Like, boom, you get notified, and then 3 hours later you see, oh gosh, like, they already made the official announcement. This has been going on for a while.
Yeah,
you
this
know?
This was not a this was like your girlfriend broke up with you, and then boom, like a week later has a new boyfriend and moving in with them, and then you put the pieces together, and you're like, okay, Kirby, I see you. I see what you did here.
How do you feel about the move from, like, a personal standpoint? Not necessarily. Let's take out
the shadiness of how he did it? Or do you want
me, no,
or
no,
is
no.
that what you're asking? How
That's
do I feel
I
about, that?
Yeah. Yeah, not the tactical side of this. I want to talk about, like, how, from a personal standpoint, we feel about him making this move.
I think it's sorry. Okay, I want to get that out there. I think when you're on a team, you have some type of friendship level to where you know, you should have that sense of respect to go up to them and at least you tell them, hey guys, I've been talking to North. For me, this is the best move. I really appreciate you, but I got to go. Right. But to not say anything to the team. And then all of a sudden they find out 3 hours before, I think that's a sorry move on his part. I understand, though, it's a business, right? I think we've gotten to that level now in esports where you got to look out for yourself, and if he feels like this is the best move, that's fine. It's just
the money's big enough to, like,
to do it.
For that to be the fact, right? Like, you should do what you feel is in best, like, ultimately in the best interest for you.
Yeah,
I'm almost like
I
this
don't
feels
know
a little Josh McDaniels-ish.
I don't know
if
it's the
me.
Best move for him.
I'm kind of opposite on that.
Really, you think it was worth, like, the way he did it was worth going to North for over Astralis?
This is the only reason I think that. I don't think this has anything to do with, like, branding, right? Because you would think from a branding standpoint, you have more likability on Astralis, right? North is kind of that
bad guy. Yeah,
they play the bad guy, right?
They talk smack, which gets them some enemies. Right?
And granted, this is like a new North now too that he's walking on to, obviously, because those people that did talk smack are no longer there either.
Right.
The only reason I feel okay with the move, and I think ultimately is in the best interest for him, is because the question started coming up right after the major, and even prior to that, because if we remember they won the E-League major last year, they haven't really performed up to the top level that people were expecting. And then recently you had Device's injury, and they again, failed to perform while he was out, and then obviously he came back for the major, and it looked pretty bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in your esports life, the career is usually fairly short. Think of it almost like a running back in the NFL in that sense. You have a couple year span where you can really do something. For him, if they were going to make a change, don't you think that would have been the person they probably would have cut?
On Device?
Oh, no, on this team. Shawless with KRB.
To have KRB go. If the team got together, KRB would be the one that they'd be like, hey, man, it's just not working.
Like, right? I mean, who else would you think it would be?
Wasn't he the last one to join the team?
He was, but the player who was there before him, and now I'm drawing a blank, but whoever was on the team before him was also the most recent change, and that's the guy they took out. Almost how NiP always treated their fifth of, if we had to make a change,
you have that
just kept
core,
that.
Right? You have the core that just then the others will kind of, you're the fifth voice in the room.
You're the odd man off, right? Yeah.
There's Cajun B, and then
somebody else.
Kerrigan? Is that how that worked?
Something. I don't know.
I don't know.
Whatever it is, I feel like he would be the one to get the axe ultimately. Even if he wasn't performing poorly, I feel like he would be the one to get the axe, because the other guys are big star names, they're big players. They all serve a really important purpose, Zipnik's being with the clutches, Dupree being able to do a little bit of everything, Device being the all-star. So I feel like he would have been the one to get the axe. So making the move now, and you're going to a great organization, they probably gave him a 2-3 year contract. I don't think this is a 6 month contract that he signed. Probably a lot of money involved, because North is not a team that, they have money behind them. They're backed by big name players, soccer teams. You look at their practice
Audi
arena. Yeah,
That's Astralis.
Audi is Astralis. But these guys are backed by, big names behind them as well. So let's assume money is at least the same. I don't think it's the worst decision. I just felt like he got ahead of it, knowing that, hey, if we don't turn this around on Astralis in the next event or two, big events that are coming up, Katowice and stuff, he might be the one to go. And then it's after the transfer season, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't think it's the worst move. I don't really like the way he did it. Like I said, it feels a little Josh McDaniels-ish, but
yeah, it's just
he
packed up his things in the middle of the night and went out. Right? It feels like that, but
yeah,
it is what it is, right? They'll get over it. I think both
teams will be fine.
As far as North goes, with the actual their now main roster with Config out, you got Cajun B gone. You mentioned, that's those were the two agitators on that team. Config never really, I think, lived up to what people thought he would. Or maybe it's just he never backed up his talk, which made him
look one of the best players on that team, right? I was a little surprised to see him go, personally.
You think over someone like MSL or anything like that?
AZ and MSL. I get it. I hear all this crap about MSLs or IGL. They can't do anything without him. I don't think he's that great. I don't see them ever blow our minds at a tournament. I think they had one tournament that they won, and it wasn't a major. But they've always underperformed. They've always been that third, fourth place team. A couple of second place finishes. I think they won DreamHack Open Montreal is what they're saying they won. I don't know. I felt like if he was such a great IGL, he would have been able to put those stars in positions to succeed, and he wasn't able to do that. And now you got rid of that firepower, and you're sitting here with MSL, AZ, KRB, Valde, and they picked up Mertz, who I think people are pretty excited about him. I don't feel like they upgraded, though. I feel like this roster just got a little bit worse, and that's ultimately going to, it's going to be on MSL to make them perform at a high level.
Another trade here that this one to me, when it happened, it was I think everyone saw that coming, which was VP finally broke up the roster, right? Leaving G2 to the longest tenured roster, which is up to 1 year, Which that's is crazy, of, yeah, isn't which it? Is insane that the longest roster here without any roster move is G2, and that's at 1 year. That just shows you how much turnover is in the CSGO world, you know? Just
you don't get long. You're a hockey coach.
No,
here.
Man, you have maybe 3 poor tournaments, and you're done. You're already looking at being transferred around.
And part of that is the organization and the fans, right? We don't give them much of it. I mean, we'll hammer you. It's all online. Yeah. I don't have to see you, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, point in case, look at now it all worked out, obviously, but with Cloud9, right? When they picked up Stewie, I remember on this podcast, I said, I give him 6 months. I said, give him 6 months, see how he does. But after that, you're done. I'm going to give you, like, that is your time to prove that you're worth anything is 6 months. And then it's like, to me, that felt like a long time, right? Like, you normally know if it's going to work out or not. So they ended up dropping Taz and has Michu in, which is from their academy team, right? Michu?
Is he from the academy team? He's been a huge up-and-coming prospect for some time now. So he's been rumored for a while to move onto that team if they ever did make a change.
Google Michu, he also plays in the Spanish Soccer League. I don't think that's the same one VP picked up, but I don't know. Sources say he could be a professional soccer player as well. He's a King. Okay, so he looks like he played on Kingwin.
Yeah, Kingwin.
He was a stand-in for VP for a few events. Maybe that's what I was thinking of. Either way, he's familiar with the system, right? He's played with VP. He's obviously been on their radar. And probably known for a while now to where when the roster move happens, which we all knew the second VP didn't make legend status at a major, they were done, right? Like that ship has sailed the second they didn't make legendary status. Another one.
Yeah, that's what they were living on there.
Yeah, that's it. Another one here that kind of shocked me was not the fact that they made changes, right? Envious needed to do something. They've never really recovered after the French shuffle, right? G2 clearly got
they got the shorter end of the stick, and you kind of felt bad for Scream at the time, right? Like he was the one oddball.
Mm-hmm. So they end up benching Sixer and XMS and have Keo and Haji in.
My boy Haji.
Oh, that's another one of you?
Another one of me.
All right, well, congrats.
Or Brown, at least.
Now there's two, right? With FaZe. Where did FNS go?
Bro.
FNS is back?
FNS, Complexity. You got Shazam on the big time team, which we'll get into soon.
So wow.
There's a lot of music.
You guys
are
taking over. You guys could almost create your own team.
I wish I could be the fifth.
One day. And Keo. Keo's back.
Returning.
Who would have thought that? You could have bet me $1 million that Keo was never going to be a pro again, and I would have believed you.
This guy gets the short end of the stick so much, It's so bad for him.
I think it's his face, if we're being honest. He's got
a hot girlfriend, dude.
I was about to say, man, if anything is a positive, Envious could become last place at every tournament after this, but we get more of Keo's girlfriend, who I believe was on England's Next Top Model.
Oh, was she?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that would make sense.
She's TV hot, man. Which just goes to show, man, it doesn't matter what you're a professional in. If you are, if you can say, yeah, I'm a professional, you're going to get, like, no lower than, I would say, an 8, maybe 9, depending on the country you live in.
I'm not going to lie, we both got pretty damn lucky for being not pro at something.
We did. We definitely married up. And I'm okay admitting that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, my wife is gorgeous. Your wife is way too good for you. That's for damn sure.
Trust me, let it be known every day.
I text her every once in a while, like, look, if you're being held captive, if a nudge is still drugging you, just let me know.
Like, light the fireplace. Throw some smoke signs out there.
I'll come get you. I'm 10 minutes away. I can be there in 5.
that vent closed. That's not happening.
It just, you welded the fireplace vent shut.
One step ahead.
Fun times, man. Keeping your wife captive. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. That's the whole point of going on this off rant here is with Keo and Haji joining Envy, what does that leave them?
That makes them still where they were at.
Like, that's just a mix up, right? That's just, we got to try something new. Let's do this before we blow up the team.
Yeah, I mean, Haji's from the academy team. Haji's supposed to be pretty good talent. He's young. So it'll be, again, I always love seeing like a young guy come into the scene because you don't know what to expect, right?
Well, it's Stewie. It's Stewie, right?
Stewie, Ropes, like all these guys, right? Like, we're seeing young talent.
When they joined, you know, both Ropes and Stewie. I remember when Stewie joined Cloud9, nothing basically went on Twitter or Twitch, one of the two, and said to everyone, like, shut up. Like, give him a chance. Like, you guys think he's bad because you haven't heard of his name, but, you know, you got to mold him, right? This is your chance to work with it.
Yeah, this is the only way you find out. They have to have the opportunity. And this is also a way for the game to stay fresh. You need the young talent to come in, so... I always find it exciting to see a new guy. I'm really going to enjoy watching him play. I'm going to be excited to see how he does.
Kiyoshima,
though,
I just
don't think
hand.
It changes a whole lot for him, ultimately, like, at least early on.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because when he left FaZe back in, like, what, later last year, right? August of last year? Man, it feels so long ago, though. I guess it kind of was about half a year ago, but still.
Counter-Strike tournament.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. Wasn't he kind of a problem child with FaZe? Like, wasn't
no,
his...
they call him the problem. He didn't have an attitude, I don't think. I don't think it was like ever a personal issue.
I know his nickname is The Problem.
But you thought it was like a personality thing?
I thought I remember hearing that. Maybe I'm misremembering that because his nickname.
Yeah, they kept him on like as a streamer for a while.
Yeah.
He's good. He's good enough to be a pro. But if you find a better talent, he's not going to, you know, he'll be that short guy on the team. He's the guy to get cut on the team. It's happened every time to him, unfortunately.
How would you like to be that? That is your legacy in Counter-Strike, is you're the fifth man. You're the guy there. Hopefully it works, but it doesn't. All right, let's get into the big one, right? The big move here, because, I mean, there are still a ton of little roster moves that we haven't even gotten to yet. Maybe we'll cover them all this episode. Maybe we'll hang on to it until we do our live show on The Ticket on February 20th, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Follow the show on Twitter at The Center Ring, and then that way you'll constantly be reminded. But Optic Gaming, man, that was the one that came out of left field for me. For multiple reasons, because not
for
only,
everyone.
Yeah, I mean, so you had Naf who left, who went to Liquid, as we mentioned, okay, and then Mixwell left, and he went to.
Well, Naf was from Renegades.
Oh, he went to Liquid.
Yeah, Naf went from. Renegades to Liquid.
I'm looking at their former player, right? So yeah, then yeah. Mixwell was the one who just left, who was like their longest. Resident on the team. Where did
Mixwell
go? He's
still a free agent.
Free agent. That's right.
And he's made it clear that he is going to be choosy with this team because he's like playing to win. It's not the guy has a real desire to win. I really hope he finds an awesome team.
As he should. It kind of sucks that some of these teams filled in rosters so early, right? Kind of like Liquid picking up Naf. Because I really feel like Mixwell would have fit in really well with Liquid. Not saying Naf won't. I think with Mixwell and opping and everything would have.
So the thing that's a little misleading is Mixwell doesn't want to op. He prefers to rifle, which is crazy because of how good he is on the op. But he prefers to rifle. He wants to rifle.
So you got to think for Mixwell. You got to find a team then that has an opper that's not going to force him to op, but also has a desire to drop a rifleman.
He'll find a team.
Could he go to Na'Vi? Could he work? Could he work?
I don't
in that
see
much
that
of an EU
that...
team. I know he's you know he's open to playing EU.
Well, he's from Spain.
Yeah,
it's just I think part of the reason is he wanted to go back towards home, right? Like I think he wanted to be closer to home. He'd been in the U.S. for a while. I don't think it would work. That just seems like such a personality clash in every way possible. Na'Vi has to have one of their own.
Yeah, like, I know. But it would be, I think that's Na'Vi's flaw, if you ask
like
me.
Anybody that's not, what do they speak? Are they speaking Russian? What are they speaking? It sounds
Ukrainian?
Russian. Can we say that? Yeah, okay, so whatever it is, which is Ukrainian. If you don't speak the language and somebody starts yelling at you in a Russian or Ukrainian accent, like, it sounds real bad, dude. Like, I don't think anyone could handle that.
So give me this here then, because I off the top of my head, I can't remember. What was the timeline for all this Optic roster moves going
on?
So,
like, Naf and Stanislaw and them were there at the beginning of 2016, along with Shazam.
Right, and they left kind of towards September. Naf left in September. Stanislaw left in February.
Much later, Shazam left in, like, 3 months into that roster.
Yeah.
So there was that big
that was not, like, a good one, though, right? Like, they did not get along.
Yeah, this was, like, pure hatred at this point. Like, and what's his name? Shazam said it on stream. I put some of these notes on here because I was looking through what was said on the stream, and these are the summer things that were mentioned. Obviously, the team wasn't performing well. Shazam did not get along with other players at all. One of them called him a bot publicly and like was like, he's basically just a bot on our team. Which that's pretty rough to hear that. You know
pretty
what I'm
saying? Pretty funny, though. I'll give him that. Pretty funny.
They went behind his back to get Oscar, signed him without telling Hex. And then ultimately, they were even like, while Shazam was on the team and they were doing practices and stuff.
How do
they
you sign them without going to Hex?
Like, they had made a deal with him to, like, come and play for them. And then it was basically letting Hex know, like, hey, we're booting Shazam, picking up Oscar type thing.
Okay.
I
sort of remember all of this, but at the same time, not at all.
Well, and this was, like, the big thing. Like, even during practices while Shazam was on the team, these guys were in a separate mumble. And they would talk in the other mumble during scrims and practices, calling even strats in that mumble, where the mumble that Shazam was in was just silent. Like, it was just, like, crickets. There's like a lot of hatred
there,
right?
That's pretty rough. I mean, and what? Just all personality at that point? Is that?
Yeah, I mean, Shazam's got a very strong personality. Right. Let's not pretend like Shazam's, you know, the golden child here. He's had issues on almost every team he's went to also. So bad, just bad overall mix of players. Shazam at that point was booted from the team.
But Shazam does have this one talent that I don't think a lot of pros have, and that somehow manages to always find a team to sign him.
He's one of the few oppers. There's just not a lot of people out there that are really good oppers. And even though Shazam has had some bad moments, Shazam's highs are very high, right? Like when he performs at a top level, he's really performing like one of the best, and it doesn't happen all the time. So that's kind of the biggest issue with him. I look at him similar to a JDM in that sense. They both have the ability to go off at any time, but you're not surprised if you see them at the bottom of the list. So this pairing of what we're talking about here, the reason this is all coming up is you have Shazam and Stanislaw back on the same team being Optic, where all of this mess kind of started at the beginning of 2016. So here we are 2 years later, people have grown up, you know, that looks like what's going on here. And they're giving this another
say
go.
Both have had a pretty solid reality check.
Yeah, Stanislaw got booted from Liquid. So, I mean, and he was playing really bad at that time. So I think both of them are in a... I think Shazam is coming off of a little bit more of a high personally.
No,
Shazam
definitely. I mean, Misfits almost qualified for the major. The actual major, not what Valve was telling us was the major. But.
And they said they tried to get somebody else that was called before they call Shazam and got turned down. And it kind of sucks that I don't remember who it was.
And then they rushed to Twitch to see if he was on and just hit him up.
Shazam was
hit,
basically
they
the
hit him
the
up
second
in a donation.
Choice.
Just,
just 20 bucks. Call me.
Yeah, 20 bucks. Hey, this is Hex. Look at your phone.
But yeah, Shazam, I mean, I don't think it's a bad, you know, if you have to go rush out and get an opera last second, you could have been a lot worse than Shazam.
So then in all this, Optic announces their new roster as Stanislaw, Shazam, Config, Cajun B, and how do you, I never know how to say this guy's name, Gade?
Gade?
Okay.
Gade. No, I'm just kidding, it's Gade. It's Gade.
Bro, I would totally believe you if you said Gade, all right? So some of these names, man. You go with it. In the sense of, that blew me away that they have three Danes, right? And Stanislaw, which is Canadian, and the Shazam being the American, dropping Freiburg. How do you feel about that? That was your boy from NIP.
No, Get Right is my boy, okay? Let's make this all clear that I'm in love with Get Right. I've moved on from the whole NIP bandwagon thing at this point.
They dropped God Alu.
Which was kind of weird, because they could have kept Alu over Shazam, I think, and been fine. But obviously, either he wanted to go back to EU or didn't want to be a part of this team.
You want to know my opinion on this Optic roster? I feel like this was much like the previous Optic roster.
Yeah.
They needed to fill in spots to play in league.
Yep.
This was a rush job. As you said, it's like it was on the final day that they announced these roster changes. And just the way they dropped Freiburg, where he then tweets out, Freiburg's tweet is like that emoji where you have a flat face, right?
Yeah.
He tweets out that, meaning I don't think he was really okay with it, right? Like, it kind of caught him off guard. He didn't do your typical, hey, I just want to thank Optic for all of their support. They've been great. I'll continue moving on, right? Like,
well, Freiburg's used to getting about 3 years of slack before he gets booted, though.
Oh, come on now. Come on.
I'm sure it caught him off guard. I mean, I get it, though. If you're going to start fresh, you don't want to keep one guy from the previous roster unless there's, like, some, you know, unless it was, like, Mixwell. That would have been the one that,
But I felt like Mixwell left Optic. You know what I'm saying?
That's what it sounds like.
From what it sounded like, I felt like Mixwell left Optic.
Made the decision to leave.
Yeah, Magic went to Astralis.
They did a three-team swap. So you basically had KRB going to North, Config going to Optic, and then Magisk going to Astralis. So
I think all the Danes kind of moved in the circle. Most middle-of-the-road player. He is a fifth player. He is your fifth man on the roster. He's the definition of a fifth man. Yes. I don't know what Astralis is going to gain from him, you know? I think, was it rumored that Astralis was going to get Dennis?
That's what I was hoping for. Because
Dennis is still a free agent, which is kind of unbelievable that it must be him, you know? There's no way that teams aren't interested in Dennis. Because you always see it on
Dennis stood in for Astralis, just recently, and, like, played well. It wasn't like he had a bad showing. He stepped in for Device while he was out, and played really well. So for them not to sign him, it's like something more there.
Yeah, you always see these things too. Like, Thorne will always tweet out, or, you know, someone will always tweet out like, oh, someone needs to sign Dennis, he's the greatest. But then the fact that no one is, I don't think it's on the organization. I think it's on him. You know, I'm starting to get this sneaking suspicion that maybe he's the picky one out of all this.
And if he's looking for the right team because he wants to compete at a high level and he's used to competing at a high level, I get that too. I think there were a couple teams out there, though, that he really could have helped. And I mean, had you been on Astralis, you were already at a high level. So I just don't think it was offered to him ultimately. I don't get the pickup for them. This pickup to me doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I think this was another one where he was there. You know, they contacted him. There was interest, and they said, "All right, let's do this." Right? What's the worst?
Was their abracadabra video?
Yeah, like, this is going to be 6 months, and we'll see what happens. And then if not, then we'll do another mix up right after the pro league. Well, that's how this is going to work. I don't know. I think just with some of the free agents out there, you know, Dennis Mixwell.
Like even Optic could have put together a full NA team. Here. Like Optic could have fielded a true NA team if they wanted to do that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised nothing's name ever came up. I don't know.
Man,
if,
I think he's
done.
I think he's done. I don't think you're ever going to see nothing again. I think he has drank the Kool-Aid of, oh, you mean I could still go hang out and do all my Counter-Strike talking but not actually deal with the BS of practicing and all that and just do, you know, analysis? And he's good at it, right? It'd be different if he was bad at breaking down things, but he's actually good, especially when he's taking it serious.
On his stream, he talked about wanting to make a, if he had to make a stream team like Mythic is.
Okay.
He was talking about doing him, Sean, Gears, Freakazoid, Shroud, and then I forgot who the fifth was.
Oh, man. You know, that would be fun. And it would be, you know, it would be fun, too, is if they were like, we're not practicing, you know? Like,
we're just going to play in the matches.
We are just going to play in the matches. You know, Shroud, you still play whatever game you want. Don't feel like you have to play Counter-Strike. We're just going to practice and see what level we can play at doing the bare minimum.
Dude, if Shroud came back to CS and wasn't on C9, can you imagine the emotions people would go through of what to do?
Well, and that's the thing, is they're all Cloud9 streamers, or for the most part, right? Nothing.
So be the Cloud9 Academy team?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what you have to make, like, as a joke Cloud9 stream team.
Yeah, that's true.
Why don't we get Summon on it? I mean, that'd be fun. You know, I don't mind the bits.
It would become one of our favorite teams. Yeah,
exactly. Like, I don't mind doing the stream team bit. That to me is fun. What else? What are some other major?
I mean, some of the big moves. Obviously, you know, Big made some changes.
Kusta joined Torq.
Yeah, Kusta being on Torq.
I missed that one.
And they played their first match today. They played against SK at the Summit. Lost 2-0, so they moved to the loser's bracket versus Vega. But, yeah, see, I mean, Kusta, I think,
C's
is a
joined Gambit?
Yep.
Who did they lose?
F3.
Who did Gambit
lose? What's his name? The new pickup. I'm drawing a blank on his name. It's the most
I'd be lying to you if I said I kept up with Gambit.
It was the most recent pickup, too, the young kid. What's his face? I'll see if I can see it real quick while you're talking. No, I
Fitch?
Can't, and it's not important. Yeah, Fitch. I think that's who is the one that
yeah,
is
that's
no
who,
longer
that's
there.
Who, okay. Man, look at that. You go to one concert one night on roster lock deadline, and you miss all of this stuff. Okay.
You know a team to be excited for? So I'm going to bring this up briefly, is Epsilon. So Epsilon went back to like a UK kind of based team here, and the UK scene has been horrendous for a very long time. Like, they just really don't have anybody. This guy Smuya, he looks really good. I've watched some of his streams and stuff. You know, he comes across as a little arrogant and cocky. I guess you probably need that mentality to get into the scene in the first place, but they're playing really well, and I think they're either qualified for Katowice. They beat Navi today, and he's been the star on that team. Maybe they have another round to go for qualifications, but I know they beat Navi 2-0 today. In a best of three, so
something
team
to
kind of
keep
an eye out.
Okay,
yeah. Another big change would be Threat. You know,
oh
no
yes,
longer with
Threat
Lip.
Stepped down from NIP. I think that's gonna. I mean, Threat was always good, man. I mean, he was awesome. always referred to as like mastermind for that.
I feel bad bringing this up without Brett here on the show, but the coaching rule really affected them the most.
That's
because
Brett's favorite.
Yeah, that's Brett's thing. But Threat really, I think that hurt them the most because they seriously saw a decline in play ever since that happened. And now PETA has joined the team. Never been big on him, at least as a player. So I don't know. Let's see how he does in this coach role.
Let's see. I'm sure there will be more. I mean, yes, roster locks were in place for some of the pro leagues, but There will still be more to come. So we'll keep an eye on that. And again, we'll break all these down a little bit more specifically when we're on air on the ticket on the 20th of February. I'm sure we'll
mention the biggest one, just so you know.
Which one?
Rambo.
I know you were going to say it. I was going to actually try to get away with it.
Rambo and FNS.
And who did they sign for? A big team, right? Like an actual...
Yeah, it's Complexity. So he's moving back home. Yeah,
Rambo's
from Plano.
Down to Frisco.
Yeah, he's from Plano, so this is going to be in his backyard.
So maybe we can get an interview with him. Maybe he'll remember you when you played against him at Circuit City.
Okay, first of all, it's CompUSA.
Oh, I'm sorry.
RIP to both of them, actually, Circuit City and CompUSA.
Where me
and
you first met Circuit City.
He would. Dude, the day is right. But yes, Rambo would remember me, to answer your question. It was 20 years ago. And I have no doubt. Yeah, for sure. It was like about a 30-minute encounter.
Definitely. Let's get into some e-news here then. We'll talk more roster moves in the coming weeks. As we mentioned earlier, CS Summit started today. Definitely watch that if you've never done it. It's basically, Summit is a tournament that does everything. Dota, Smash is the big ones. But they basically have this awesome house in California. They get the pros, and it's just a LAN party tournament style. So it's awesome. So definitely watch that. You can see Torqued there. That's kind of the big matchups to watch, just because to see how they play against these top teams.
Heck, if you turn it on right now, you can watch Cloud9.
Oh, that's right. They are playing. Are they playing? Who are they playing?
I know they're the last matchup for today. I don't know. The last matchup for today.
They're playing someone.
Really, if you haven't watched the Summit before, I highly encourage you to go check it out. It's one of my favorite tournaments to watch, and I think a lot of people feel that same way.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. In Call of Duty, it has been leaked, but I think pretty much confirmed that next year's Call of Duty is going to be Black Ops 4. So that's going to be somewhat modernized with a little bit of future tech. Again,
they said that they're not going to go as hardcore on the future tech, is what they were saying.
Okay,
there's some report that came out.
So, maybe no jetpacks, but maybe drones, right? That's kind of how I
can live with that.
I translate
I can live with
that.
No jetpacks.
I can live with drones, just don't give me jetpacks, and we'll be good there. In other e news here, Evo was officially announced for 2018. It's going to be August 3rd through the 5th in Las Vegas, as always. Some of the games announced, I feel like the game lineup isn't as big this year, but maybe I'm just crazy. Of course, you'll have Street Fighter 5 there. You'll have Tekken 7, Guilty Gear, Injustice 2. You know, you'll have your main ones. Super Smash Brothers, Melee, and then so will the Smash Brothers U. That will be there. Blaze Blue, the King of Fighters. You got those anime ones. And, no, wait. Now that I'm looking at this list... I think their website is wrong. Their list definitely shows Marvel vs. Capcom there. Marvel vs. Capcom definitely is not going to be at Evo 2018. So do not listen to their own website. Because Dragon Ball FighterZ took over Marvel vs. Capcom. So rip Marvel vs. Capcom. So that'll be a good one there to watch. That's going to be coming up in August. I was actually going to want to bring this up as a whole major topic, but we could talk about it next week because the Olympics and everything will be actually going on, and that's esports in the Olympics, because that is also coming back as a conversation. But you did have Scarlett. She won her first major tournament for StarCraft. She's been competing for like 6 years or something like that. Wins her first tournament at IEM Pyeongchang, which is where...
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So that's where the Olympics are being held at. And, like, so this event was, like, really supported by the Olympic Committee. So, like, they had the rings, the Olympic rings, everything all over this. It was a big deal. So I have my opinions on esports at the Olympics. We'll talk about that next week, though. Does that sound good?
They just wanted it because Koreans would win all the major tournaments.
Yeah, except for Scarlett's Canadian, eh?
Right.
So, backfired on you, Korea.
But yeah, I would like to get into that at some point. I think that'd be cool to discuss.
Yeah, I have my opinions. I vented about it on Twitter today, which you can follow at Pirate Mushroom. But I think it's a little ridiculous, if you ask me. Not esports related, but it's all part of the culture here. Dr. Disrespect is back. It felt good. I do think, even though he does not, you know... directly compete in anything, right? I think he does have an effect on the esports landscape, because he'll tweet about it, right? He
shows interest in games that most esports fans are, and he was involved with Call of Duty, so obviously he enjoys it to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm. And G Fuel is apparently killing everyone in California with the amount of lead they are putting in their drinks. So,
does it cause any shrinking?
Can you go any smaller?
That's why I'm asking.
No, I think you're safe. I think you're safe.
Yeah, that's good. It's lead, right? They got lead in their freaking drinks, dude. That's like a big deal.
They're so good.
They are so good.
I don't think
I'm finishing up my last scoops here.
Uh-oh. You need another Call of Duty tournament so you can buy another discount. Anyways, folks, that is it. That's episode 93 of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR. It's in the books. I hope you all enjoyed. I know we did. It's good to talk some Counter-Strike with you, Anuj. I feel like Brett,
I feel like
Brett weighs us down. You know, he holds us back. And we just got
today
to,
was literally,
got to be
like
ourselves.
You said,
you know?
The best show yet.
I think it was. Maybe I'll talk to Brett. Maybe we'll just kick him off the show. You want to do that?
We love you, Brett,
maybe we
listening.
Can do the show and stick him in a different Discord while we do the show.
Shazam him?
Yeah, we'll Shazam him.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know how that would work out with this, but we'll figure it out. Anyways, again, hit us up on Twitter. It's at The Center Ring. You can keep up with the show. All the updates there. Our website is tcr.gg. Again, February 20th. We'll be drilling it into your head till then, but we will be live on FM radio on The Ticket in Dallas. So tell your friends. Tune into that. Get Twitter questions ready. Oh, look at that. My laptop's about to die. So that was a good timing, Anuj, that we ended the show.
Remember, if you're attending any funerals or churches,
oh yes,
in the near future,
#churchhot funeral hot. But until then, for Anuj, I'm Tim. We'll see you next time.